Good evening. Good to see y'all. And I've said this so many times, coming up here since I was like 14 years old, and the heart just never stops racing. Sitting there listening to Lorenzo, I'm like, man, he's doing good. Can I opt out and just let him keep going? Like, just keep at it. And this one was kind of sprung on me. I let Nolan and Mr. Simpson know that, hey, you know, anytime you guys need someone to jump in, you know, I'm here for you guys, you know, always willing to jump in. And that was earlier this week, so Nolan hit me up today. And I've had a few things in my mind that I've been working on but didn't have anything fully planned out. And so I was, you know, stay true to my word. Yeah, you know, I'll come up, I'll do what I can. And we also had some things pre-planned. A bunch of us guys were hanging out today, so I was trying to hang out with them while put a message together all at the same time. So, you know, adds to it. So I didn't really know what I was going to do and where I was going to go. I was just trying to figure it out. I was bouncing between two messages, but, you know, thank God for God. You know, he leads you the direction you need to go, and I believe we figured it out. So let's start in 1 Samuel chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 1, be a little long read. So now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli. And word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. It happened at that time, as Eli was lying down in his place, now his eyesight had begun to grow dim, and he could not see well. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. That the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." Then he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he, Eli, said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and laid back down. The Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But again, Eli answered, "I did not call, my son, lie down again." So now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down. And it shall be, if he calls you, that you shall speak. Say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went, laid down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel, at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will carry out against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves and he did not rebuke them. Therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." So Samuel lay down until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. But Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "What is the word that he spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all the words that he spoke to you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." Let's pray. Great God and Father, Christ in heaven, I just want to thank you for this body, this assembling of saints, Lord, that we are able to gather, to build one another up, to spend time strengthening each other, leaning on each other, being there for each other, and that way you get to come do it before you, before this dinner, this meal that we get to share with you, Lord, in heaven, for we are seated in heaven. So what a great honor this is. Lord, I pray that in keeping with that honor, that I honor you tonight with the message that I speak, that it is for you and glorify you and to help encourage others so we're all strengthened and continue on this journey for you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry. kind of bouncing off the last message that I spoke, it's good to see all the young guys up here again. Again, when you're young, you don't always know what you want to be, what you want to do, It changes all the time. I remember, when I was real young, and Mr. Wilson can attest to this, from about the time I was 6 years old all the way till Mr. Wilson showed up at the school, he asked us all one day, what do you all want to be when you grow up? I said I wanted to conquer the world. And not the aspect of I want to be, a great movie star, rock star, or something like that. I was like, no, I want to build an army, and I want to conquer the world, because no one has ever done it. And that was my mindset from the time I was young on. Again, thank God, for, Christian influence and things like that, and realized that was wrong. Problem is, kind of put me in this place where, I didn't know what I was supposed to do with myself, and talking with Rex, still trying to figure out what I'm trying to do, going to become when I grow up, So, as growing up, I always tried to do really good with my jobs. My first job was at Pizza Hut, so I figured I'd be a great pizza maker. And I was a good pizza maker. And then I slowly went into management, so I was going to be a manager of Pizza Hut, Just didn't know what else to do. So it was, just do whatever's in front of me. But I couldn't figure out any great thing, Something that was that next level, something to achieve for and push myself for. And not having that, not having, some sort of goal, something greater than you to push yourself for, you get lost. You get complacent. So I went off, did a bunch of stupid stuff for a lot of years, that led me down a very dark path where I spent, most of 16 and a half to 21 homeless and just a whole bunch of stuff and, had to rebuild from that. Again, thank God for the church and, the way God works, you fall, you hit certain levels, and like that prodigal son, see the error of your ways, and there's a light somewhere, so you come back to it. You boys don't do that. there's an easier path, follow it. But with coming back from that, again, as I came back, I was 21, 22, I'm trying to figure out, what do I do? What do I do with my life? And me and Mikkel, I wish Bud was here tonight. We would talk all the time for hours. And I mean, for a few years, because he was in the same boat. He ran a successful construction company. And then he had a successful cell phone store. And we'd go back and forth what do we do? What do we do with ourselves? Do we become preachers? Do we just sell everything off and give everything to the Lord and, become evangelists and go out there and do something? Or do we become workers, and we're the business guys and we just couldn't figure it out, But it was eating at us. It was driving at us because we want more, but we want more for God. We want to know that we're pleasing Him, that we're doing what He has called us for. I think Mikkel's done great. He's figured out his place in the body and what he needs to do, and he's doing it. He's a great man. He does a lot for all you young guys also, and has set a great example, and that's awesome. He sacrifices time, and him and his family, they go to the Philippines. They do a lot of mission work there. That's phenomenal. Just great. But it's not always easy, you know. It's hard figuring out what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do in life? What are you supposed to do for God? And sometimes God's calling us, and we just don't realize it. You know, as we saw in Samuel there, God was calling Samuel. But he didn't realize it. He's like, Eli, what do you want, man? Like, I'm trying to sleep here. God was calling him. You know, for years, I was getting called for some stuff, and I didn't realize. You know, I'm thick-headed, very stubborn, things that I've had to work through in life and am still continuing having to work through. Again, why you guys are young, look at those things now. Fix them now so they don't impede you in the greater term of your life. But on the journey, you know, some things have started coming together. And it all started in the business realm first. You know, started some businesses, did very well at them. Come to find out, you know, I'm good at business. And a lot of that comes from working at restaurants in the management area like Pizza Hut, Yumco, Texas Roadhouse, learning things like that. But then also seeing people like Mikkel who didn't have those experiences but was able to go start his own business and realize like, oh, cool, you know, like you can do that. So went, built some businesses. Through that physical success, though, people would start coming to me, asking me for advice, coaching, things like that. And I would always turn them down because in my eyes, I kind of looked at it like, well, you know, I'm this ex-homeless drug addict. Like, what do I have to teach anybody, you know? Like, I shouldn't be helping you, you know? Like, there's better people out there. You know, I look at people like Elon Musk, you know, guys like that. Like, there's real successful people out there. So I didn't have anything. So I would always tell people no, always push them aside. Well, after a few years, I got into some business groups and started learning what mentors were. And so I started getting mentored by more successful people, which helped my success and some of my habits. One night we were on a private call and some gentleman earlier that day had asked me for some help and I turned him down and I was telling them like, hey, you know, I thought I did something good. I was like, hey, I turned down a distraction so I could focus on some things I needed to. And I may have told this story before, so excuse me if I'm repeating myself, but one of the mentors on the call, an older gentleman, he hit me and he hit me hard. He was like, Jude, you are the most selfish person I've ever met in my life, and you don't deserve any of your success. God should take it away right now. And I was like, whoa, like what? What did I do? You know? And he's like, seriously, think about it, Jude. He's like, look at your past and the things that you've gone through. Look at my life, things I've gone through. You know, I had both parents. You know, I went to college. I had a great job in the gosh, I think he was in the DEA or something like that. And then he went on to go do all his business stuff. He's like, one marriage, my kids. He's like, all my stuff was great. He's like, because of that, though, I can't reach everybody. He's like, there's some people I will never be able to connect with just because I haven't been where they are, or they're going to look at me and go, well, what do you know about it, sir? I can never be like you. He's like, you've been in those other areas where you can reach those other people that I can't, and vice versa. And it hit me. It was like, wow, you know, he's right. Like, I had never thought about that, you know, and I'm not, I don't want to go all Pentecostal or evangelical up here, but I have a story, and my story connects and resonates with some people. You know, Rex, I'll use as an example right now because him and I connected. We connected first, you know, because we're both constitutionalists and, you know, have some things to say about the government. But then we both had been through some things over the years. We both have seen the bottom of the barrel. You know, we've been in the mud. So we've been able to connect and build a good, strong friendship. That helped get him into a Bible study with Nolan and I. You know, we were able to plant some seeds. God did some watering. Rex is an awesome brethren, you know. He's a bright light sitting there now. That stuff that I didn't understand.
Let's not get carried away.
You're a bright light, sir. Accept it. On the hilltop. But God's calling us. And you got to listen for it. You got to look for it. You know, Nolan, I think it was this week as we were studying with Rex again, because we're continuing to go on. We're discipling now. And we're building it up. Nolan was talking about different gifts and how, you know, we all have different gifts and we don't necessarily know what they are. You know, but it's paying attention to them, finding them, seeing what you're good at. And once you find it, build off of it. Well, having done that in the business world, that opened up many other opportunities where I started networking, started connecting with other people. I got to start speaking at events. I got to start keynoting events, you know. Got to go speak at some events that had 500, 800,000 people at it. Like, just incredible things. Never thought I'd do. I mean, I have trouble speaking in front of, you know, the 80 of us that are here right now without passing out. So, and those led to bigger opportunities. I got to work with guys like Dean Graziosi and Tony Robbins, Pedro Gadimi, just these big, massive names in the business space, which, you know, in the spiritual space doesn't mean anything, but in the business world, it's like, wow, like these are some incredible opportunities. But it still wasn't helping, you know, what am I supposed to be doing for God? What am I supposed to be doing for righteousness? What am I supposed to be doing to help lead you guys, my children, my wife, you know, the people around me, the connections? You know, where do I fit in? What do I need to do? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. I actually meant to read this a little earlier. I'm sorry. So, verse 11 through 13. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, some as teachers. You know, again, going back to me and Mikkel talking and talking about that. One thing him and I both came to the conclusion of, we're not evangelists. Like, we both have trouble coming up speaking. Gosh, I wish he was here. But, you know, we both have trouble, like, coming up and doing this. Like, it's hard for us for some reason, you know? And he does a great job. I know some people say I do a great job, but, like, internally, like, freaking out the whole time. You know, and then, like, sitting there, times I've done Bible studies with Luke, doing the Bible studies with Nolan, like, I watch them do the Bible studies. I'm like, wow, you guys are so amazing. Where I've tried to do Bible studies on my own, I just, it's not there. And I care. I love. You know, I want those souls in, but it's just not my gift. But there are things that I am good at, you know. As I've seen through the business world and where I become successful there and where people started chasing me after is, I'm good at caring. I'm good at listening. I'm good at talking people and finding out the root of their problem, whether it be in business, their life, marriage, you know, with their kids, and helping them come up with a plan to correct that and get that going. And so as I saw that in the business world, you know, I delved deeper into it and, you know, wrote a book, started a coaching program, and started working on those things. You know, how can I give back? How can I pay it forward? How can I help others? And so as I've gotten closer and closer to God over the last few years, you know, gosh, probably since, I want to say 2016, I started doing a prayer daily where I started praying to God to refine me through fire. I tell you, that's probably not a prayer many of you want to pray because, dude, our life has been hard. It's been a battle. We've lost a lot of things, like all kinds of stuff, but I've done that prayer daily because I want to be gold. I want to be something amazing. I want to be something valuable for God, and I want to help. And it's led me to seeing that, you know, I've got these abilities where I can come and help. One thing I've noticed over the years, I'm someone, again, who likes to look at problems. And I've been in the church since I was 2 years old. You know, obviously in and out, you know, done a lot of stupid things, but I've been around for a long time and I've seen a lot of things. I paid attention to a lot of things and I look at the church same way I look at businesses and I go, you know, what's working, what's not working, things like that. And I am not saying anything against the position of evangelist. I want to make that clear when I make these next statements that I make, okay? But we're an evangelist-run church and have been for quite a while because we haven't had another piece, and that's elders. And the problem is you can't just create elders, you know. Many people do. We obviously see it with the Mormons, you know. You're 18, you're an elder, get out there, save the world. And it's not like that. We need some elders, you know. But the elder position, it's hard. It's something you have to build up to. Again, going back to being young, I've heard my kids do it, you know, especially Gabriel. Gabriel's the one who's done it the longest, and he still says it, you know. They wanted to be evangelists. They wanted to be preachers. That's awesome. I want that. You know, do that. If that's what God has picked out for you and that's where you guys' abilities are, do it. I've never heard any of my friends growing up, though, myself included, and I haven't heard any of these kids ever go, you know what, I want to be an elder when I grow up. And even through adults, I've only ever heard one adult my whole time ever being around. And I'm sure there have been people who've said it, but personally, I've only ever heard one adult ever say it. Because the elder position, it's a hard one. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Be another little long read here. We'll start in verse 1. So, it is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. An overseer, then, must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? And not a new convert, so that he will not become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church, so that he will not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Deacons, likewise, must be men of dignity, not double-tongued or addicted to much wine, or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. These men must also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Deacons must be husbands of only one wife, and good managers of their children and their own households. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. You go through that, and it's like, wow, there's a lot of things I need to do different. You know, there's a lot of things I need to work on. There's a lot I got to sacrifice for that position. But it's great. I mean, you read through it, and truthfully, that's what every Christian should be shooting for, is what's on that list. I mean, be the husband of one wife, raise good, godly children, be temperament, kind, not a drunkard, gentle, inviting people into your home. Awesome. Be like that. You know, we need elders. We need evangelists. We need elders. We need, you know, people that are in here just greeting people at the door like Dave does. We need people like Frank who are out here, you know, doing the extra work around, whatever it is. God's calling you for something. And you got to listen for it. And you got to take hold of it and do that. Be pleasing to the Lord. And as you do that, your life will be blessed. It'll be hard. Now, Christianity is not easy. But it'll be blessed. And the reward will be great. beyond measure. So yeah, as you know, I've been going through all this and just kind of dwelling on it. You know, I'm looking at that and I'm like, well, I'm not an evangelist. You know, maybe I'm an elder. You know, maybe I'm a deacon. Maybe I'm a guy who never gets that position, but is just known as someone in the church who is there for everybody and helps and is inviting people in their homes and, you know, picking someone up late at night when they're about ready to have a struggle or something. You know, I don't know as of yet, but I'm listening and I'm looking and I'm trying to find my place in God and the church so I can be helpful, so I can be that light, so I can help bring others in, so I can help make sure that you guys make it, you know, so that this backbone can be strengthened. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So again, you know, I was finding what I've been called for. You know, I've been able to find my gifts. It's taken a long time. I'm almost 40, you know. Nolan made it clear today I'm not one of the young guys. I'll catch you, Rex. you know, but I've been given gifts, you know. And I need to build off those. And I need to build off them in a godly way. One that's worthy of Him. One that glorifies Him. And one that, you know, helps strengthen you all. Because we are one body. And if I'm a limp toe, that's going to hurt the body. It slows it down. I mean, I'm sure everyone here stubbed a toe at one time or maybe even broken a finger. Like, who knew how important the pinky was, right? Until you do something to it and it's like, oh man, this just isn't working the same. So we need to make sure we're doing everything we can to rise up to our gifts that God's given us. So we live up to what He wanted. Now, I've got a long ways to go before I can become an elder. I know, you know, my marriage isn't perfect. I have to be a better husband. I have to be more loving, more patient. My kids, they're still growing, still learning. I got to teach them how to be men, godly men, who put everything on the line for this. You know, I got to learn how to teach better. One of the things is, it wants, you know, you got to be able to teach. I'm still learning how to speak. This is tough for me. There's things to work on. But you can do it if you have that mindset, that willingness, that desire, and you'll sacrifice for it. You know, the things I leave you guys with, again, 1 Corinthians 11:1. Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. Look at that. You know, the Bible's a mirror. We hold it up, and we see the reflection. We see ourselves, and we see Jesus, and we can see where we match up. And there's men here, women here, are doing amazing things that are incredible, have done so much with their lives. So we can always look at them and go, you know what? I want what you have. I told you guys in the last time I spoke, you know, I started worrying about my kids' spirituality and their future. You know, who was I to raise good, godly kids? So I started talking with Luke. I started talking with Jeff Hostetter. Learn from them as they're following Christ. And I've put that into place with my children. Amen.